Morning, everybody. Today's scripture readings come from John 4, 43-54. We read these responsively. I'll begin. After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem in the Passover festival, for they also had been there. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. Thank you. Now we have today's message by Shepherd Kevin.
Hello again, everyone. Should we sing more songs? The title of today's message is "Go, Your Son Will Live." Let's read the key verse way up on the top there. Let's read it together. Ready? "Go," Jesus replied, "Your Son Will Live." The famous coach, Vince Lombardi, for whom the Super Bowl trophy in football is named, always talked to his football players about going back to the fundamentals of football, especially when his teams were not doing well or if they had lost a game. Today, we will also look at some fundamentals of the spiritual life. However, these aspects of faith are not just fundamental, but they really involve our entire Christian life. They involve asking faith, believing faith, and confirming faith. So I call these the ABCs of faith. It's easy to remember? Okay. Verse 43 reads, "After 2 days he left for Galilee." Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they had also been there. John 2:23 says that at the festival, many people saw the signs he was performing and believed in his name. Even the Galileans welcomed him. This was quite a bit different welcome than when he had received at Nazareth, when the people tried to throw him off a cliff when he declared himself to be the Messiah. So part one, asking faith. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Cana was located near the city of Nazareth, but about 20 miles from Capernaum. So now Jesus is in Cana, but this man is 20 miles away at Capernaum. He is an anguished father whose young son has a high fever and is about to die. In desperation, he gets on his horse or his camel or whatever he traveled with, and he came looking for Jesus. When he finally finds Jesus, he begs him to come and heal his son. This man came to Jesus with an emergency prayer request. There is nothing wrong with emergency prayer requests. After all, Psalm 46 begins, "God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in times of trouble." However, in the context of John's gospel so far, perhaps except for his disciples, the only faith Jesus saw was this miracle and sign-seeking faith. This man is a politician and a member of Herod's entourage, probably had little to no knowledge of the scripture. In fact, if this official did not have a life and death matter on his hands, he probably would not have come to Jesus at all. But what does Jesus say to him? "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." This seems like a very harsh word to the grieving father. And it doesn't sound at all like Jesus. It seems like he's turning a cold shoulder to the man's request. However, what we don't really see there is that Jesus is speaking, "Unless all of you people see signs and wonders, you will never believe." Jesus wants us to come to him with honest motives, that his power is not just for performing or entertaining, but to reveal who he really is. As Christians, we come to God with many prayer requests. Sometimes God says yes, sometimes no, sometimes wait. We know what is written in the book of James. "You do not have because you do not ask God, and when you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures." We know that Christmas is coming. Christmas is only about 6 weeks away. Unbelievable. Children often ask their parents for something for Christmas. Okay, kids, what are you going to ask your parents for Christmas? Yeah. What? Rollerblades, okay? What? What'd you say? Okay. Anyone else? Okay. I asked, oh, some of them are in the back. I asked them not to give me the silent treatment. Sometimes children don't get what they ask for because the parent knows that it is not good for them. Some of our children here are not just children, they are older. They are teenagers and they're going to be adults pretty soon. So the older children who are 18, 19, 20 years old, are not going to ask for Sonic the Hedgehog or Legos. Okay? They might ask, "Well, Dad, I'm going to college and I need a car. What kind of car would you like?" "Well, you know, Justin Bieber had a Ferrari. So how about a Ferrari?" "Too expensive." "How about a Camaro?" "Too much horsepower." "How about a used Chevy?" Probably parents would not want to buy their son a Ferrari and see them tooling around 180 miles an hour around town. But that is how God is. He wants us to ask for things that are in his will, not things which might be harmful to us. But he wants us to not just ask for things, but life-giving things that will bring glory to him. People often seek Christ for the wrong reason. Some people just seek him at Easter or Christmas service to fulfill a religious obligation. Many of the Pharisees sought God for their own ends, to find a place, rank, or power in the Jewish priesthood. I remember in the movie Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Indy was searching for the Holy Grail. But one of the guardians of the Grail said to him, "Ask yourself, why do you seek the cup of Christ? And is it for his glory or for yours?" In the same way, when this man came to Jesus for help, at first it seemed like Jesus just said no. But Jesus did not say no. He rebuked him. Why? Because Jesus wanted this man to know not just what Jesus could do, but who he really was. Who is Jesus? He is the Son of God that can give life to a dying situation. It is through him that we have life in his name. So what happened? The official was not put off by Jesus' rebuke. What shows that he was not just a sign seeker was the prayer of deep agony in the Father's words as he pleads with Jesus. "Sir, come down before my child dies." He is even willing to be Jesus' Uber driver and drive him down to Capernaum. However, the Lord of creation did not need to go to Capernaum to heal the boy. Rather, he saw that this man needed to know that Jesus is the Son of God who by one word has authority over life and death in this world. When we come to Christ, it is first with a prayer of repentance and faith that leads to salvation. Then we begin to pray for others, that others may know the new life we now know. But human beings are complex people. Are you a complex person? Jesus may have to rebuke us if our prayers are rooted in self-seeking, honor-seeking, or to build up our pride. Rather, it is his desire that through our prayers, the glory of God may be revealed. Part 2, believing faith. So what does Jesus say to him? Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The Lord granted his prayer request. But here, Jesus is giving the man an opportunity to believe in Jesus at a higher level of faith. Amazingly, he stopped pleading with Jesus, but accepted the Lord's word. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. That itself is a miracle. How could this royal official, nothing more than a politician, suddenly accept Jesus' word and then depart? It was because Jesus' words lodged in this man's heart, and his word remained there. Jesus spoke a word of life to him personally. And even though this royal official had to travel 20 miles back to Capernaum, which is a long way, the living word of Jesus in his heart carried him all the way. Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The word "go" is important. It means to believe the good news that Jesus has proclaimed, and to walk in obedient faith in response to it. The word "go" is used at least 225 times in the Bible. I counted each one. No, I didn't count each one. Oftentimes when we hear the word "go" as spoken by Jesus, we want to set the world on fire and have 30, 60, 90, 120 disciples. But when we obey Jesus' word "go," it is not just for others, but it is for us. When we go, it is not primarily others who are changed first, but it is primarily we are changed first. So believing faith, the B of the ABC faith, is not just about changing the world around us, but the world inside us. Believing faith is not just about our impact on the world. Of course, we should have an impact on the world. I saw the Bible students that came to share their testimonies yesterday. I didn't go in, but I just saw them coming in there. So we see that, like I saw Hannah and Greg and Susan and others, you have having impact in the world. We should have an impact on the world. But first, Jesus transforms us on the inside. This man, as he walked to Capernaum, his insides were being transformed from being faithful and despairing to being assured and resting in Jesus' word. Jesus' word gives new life to situations in our life that are dying or chaotic or frustrated. Jesus' word, go, which is a command, always has a promise to it. The promise to this man was, your son lives. Whenever God gives a command, there is a promise attached to it. That is why when we obey God, we are joyful because of the presence of the Spirit and because of the wonderful promises that come about when we obey. When God told Abraham, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you, he then said what? You know what he said. I will bless you, and I will make you into a great nation. Jesus once told that rich young ruler, we've studied about him, he said, if you want to be perfect, go, sell your possessions, and give to the poor, and then come and follow me. When Jesus commissioned his disciples, he said, go and make disciples of all nations. And his promise was that as we make disciples, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We don't make disciples on our own. Jesus is with us to the very end of the age. Go, your son lives, is a meaningful word to each one of us. Go, your son lives. Go, your daughter lives. Go, your broken relationships are mended. Go, your career is established. Go, and all the dying situations of your life will come to life again, all as we trust in Jesus' command. Amen. Amen. Part 3, confirming faith. A, B, C, confirming faith. Verse 51 through 53, read. I'd like you to join me, okay? Let's read this together, just because I like to hear your voices. Ready? While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that this boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, yesterday at 1:00 p.m. Exact time at which Jesus had said to him, your son will live. These servants unknowingly confirmed the word of Jesus to this man in the exact time that the boy was healed, at 1:00 p.m. Notice that the father did not just jump in down for joy at his son's healing, although I'm sure he was very joyful. But he did not forget about his encounter with Jesus, but remembering Jesus' words, he inquired as to the time. In that sense, there were two miracles, one that the boy was healed, and the second that Jesus' word remained in the father's heart. He remembered what Jesus said to him. Sometimes in the everyday distractions of life, there's so many things going on, and we forget what Jesus has said to us. But this is what Jesus was looking for. From the moment he rebuked the father, in a sense, it was this confirming faith that came to him when he saw the confirming sign that God had answered his prayer. We also want to see these confirming signs that God has answered our prayer. It may not be as dramatic as this sign, but if we are asking and believing in faith, we will know when the confirming sign comes, whether it is great or small. But the confirming sign comes not when we expect it, but according to God's timing, because the confirming sign is not about us. It is about the revelation of the glory of God in the situation that we are in. The confirming sign happens when the darkness is swallowed up by light, where sadness is replaced with great joy, where a dying or even a dead hope comes to life again. We are all on a journey of faith to Capernaum, walking in obedience to Jesus' word. But God has an exact moment, a pinpoint in time, when he will answer our prayer. We all have a 1 o'clock of answered prayer in our future, and it will be the confirming sign of our prayer request. Years ago, I received Jesus' living word, the same word he spoke to Matthew. Not Matthew Kim, well, maybe Matthew Kim, but Matthew. He said, follow me. Jesus may have been standing right in front of me and said, follow me. It was that real to me. So I followed. For many years, I studied the Bible, I taught the Bible, and raised up Bible students. But when it came to my own personal prayer request, Jesus didn't answer. My prayer request was for a steady teaching job at the college level. Although I taught at UT part-time for 7 years, the doors did not open for a full-time teaching job. Then, after experiencing the many sorrows of my life, even though this year has been a COVID year, this year has been a very good year for me. I have begun to walk in obedient faith again like I used to. Amen. Also, like this father, I have a daughter who I pray for. It seems everything that I and others have tried to do for her has not worked. But I have found that the Lord is saying to me, it is not just your daughter that needs help, but it's you that need help. You need faith in me to walk with me again, like you used to, as the living word in your heart. Then I will heal your career and your daughter in my appointed time. Amen. So now I have begun to walk my road to Capernaum in faith again. We see that Jesus has not come to primarily fix what we think is wrong in our life, like fixing a flat tire, or helping us to find the remote control that we lost in the sofa, or giving us bigger and better things. These come at God's appointed time. But Jesus has come to fix what is wrong in our heart. What is wrong in our heart? It's always one thing. What is it? Unbelief. So again, we open the door to the Word of God and invite him to take up residence in our heart. We ask in prayer, but we are not stagnant. We walk our road to Capernaum with the living Word of Jesus in our heart. And at the right moment, at our own 1 o'clock, our healing prayers and faith will be confirmed in a very obvious way that brings glory to God. Amen. Finally, the last part of verse 53 and 54 read, so he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. The second miracle was not just the healing of a boy. It was about new life in Christ to an entire family. Wow. Just the healing of a boy to new life in Christ for an entire family. Who knows how that spread throughout his situation and the people that he knew. That is why I call these the ABCs of faith. Asking, believing, and confirming faith always results in not only new life, but that the glory of God is displayed in the situation. The British evangelist George Muller started an orphanage in England through which 10,000 orphans passed. They were taught the Bible, they were trained in different kinds of work, and they were clothed and they were fed. He never asked for money, but all his needs were supplied as he prayed. Many times he received unsolicited food donations only hours before they were needed to feed the children, further strengthening his faith in God. The quote on there, which you may or may not be able to read, was, I believe God has heard my prayers. He will make manifest in his own good time that he has heard me. I have recorded my petitions that when God has answered them, his name will be glorified. George Muller wrote down, during his years at the orphanage, 1,000 195 prayer requests. He wrote them all down, and then he wrote how God answered them and how the glory of God was revealed through those answers. In conclusion, Christ told the royal official, "Go, your son lives." We ask in faith, we believe in faith, and our faith is confirmed when God answers and the glory of God is revealed. And if we pray for a long time, but God does not seemingly answer our prayer, it is like a wise person once said to me, "Sometimes our prayers will not be answered until we have departed this life." Something to think about. Jesus' word to this man, "Go, your son lives," is for us. When we ask, believe, and our faith is confirmed, not only is our faith ennobled and growing in Christ, but the glory of God is revealed in us and through us and all around us. Then we find that is the real miracle that we've been searching for all along. Amen. Let's read our key verse. Up at the top, ready? "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." Let's pray. Father in heaven, Jesus is the Son of God who with one word has authority over life and death. He has authority over all of the issues of our life. With one word, he can give new life to any kind of situation that is dying in us. He can give new life to whatever we face and new life to whatever is broken in our life. "Go, your son lives," is not just for the royal official. It is for each of us. It is for each of us that what is broken and what is wounded and what is hurt in our life, Jesus, with one word, can heal us. And through our healing and through the healings of others, not just physical healings, but spiritual healings, our faith grows and the glory of God is revealed. And that is what God desires for each of us. Thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.